Rain is just about everywhere at 60 degrees. Welcome to the special weather edition of Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott as we continue coverage of what is now Tropical Storm Irma. For the first time in the city's history, Atlanta is under a tropical storm warning. And Georgia Governor Nathan Deal has declared a state of emergency in all 159 counties in Georgia. Now for the latest regarding the state's preparation for Irma, joining me on the line now from the Georgia Emergency Management and Homeland Security Agency, Catherine Howden. Catherine, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for having me on.
Let's begin here. As of right now, are you all aware of any injuries or fatalities related to Tropical Storm Irma?
We do have one confirmed fatality at this time.
And do you know what region of the state that is in?
That was in Worth County.
Of course, the coastal areas of the state were hit first. What resources do you all have in place, or already had in place, for those regions? Let's begin there.
Sure. So as we were preparing, we realized that this storm was going to impact the entire state, not just one specific area, as Hurricane Matthew did. So we have dispatched resources throughout the state. We have additional resources that are ready to go into the hardest hit areas as the storm passes. And those include DNR, forestry, state troopers, those folks that are going to clear the road, make sure that they're safe, report on down power lines. We have Georgia Power crews that are ready to go in and restore power once the storm passes.
It's very unusual that an entire state is declared a state of emergency. When that happens, how challenging is that for GEMA?
It's definitely a challenge, but we have great partners throughout the state. We work with our local partners and the state partners, and we are ready to serve the citizens throughout the state of Georgia for this storm.
And, of course, you all have been helping some of the neighboring states that just went through this a week or so ago. So now do you all expect to get the same favor returned?
We have great relationships with our neighboring states. We've been in constant communication with Florida, Tennessee, South Carolina, and Alabama. South Carolina has offered shelters if we need them in their state, and we're working with them as we move forward to make sure that the entire region is taken care of.
And for those regions that may need extra resources from you all, what kind of resources are you sending? I know that there are some areas where flooding could be a major problem, and for folks that need to get to a shelter who didn't evacuate earlier, what resources will GEMA be making available for those other areas?
Well, currently we have 93 open shelters, and over 6,600 people were in those shelters overnight. We'll continue to open shelters and state parks as needed to make sure that everybody has a place to stay. We've also pulled in supplies. We're working with FEMA on their pods they put into place in all those local counties, and those bring in MREs, bottles of water, cots, and tarps. For those local areas.
And if folks need to find out where those shelters are, you mentioned that the park services could be open as well. Is a website the best place to find out what shelters are available?
Yes, our website, gema.ga.gov, has up-to-date sheltering information and links to many of the different resources that people are going to be looking for.
And although at some time we know that Irma will be making its way out of the state, but Florida evacuees who came here to escape Irma, they may start heading back to their homes, but I understand that could cause some problems.
Yes, we're asking everybody to just remain in place. We understand that everybody is anxious to get back to their homes, both in Florida and in the Georgia areas that were evacuated. We need those first responders to be able to get out, make sure that the roads are safe and passable, and return the power to the areas that were affected with power outages and other issues before we allow people back in. And so we're just asking everybody to just have patience. We're working with Florida to make sure that we're coordinating those efforts, and we appreciate everybody taking the time and just staying put for now.
And, Catherine, in terms of when everyone will be able to start shifting back to their areas of residence, when do you expect that the state will make a decision that all is clear and everyone should make some attempt to return to their residence?
There are going to be some areas that will be within a day or two, and there may be some areas that could be longer. It really just depends on the impacts that we see today and tomorrow. First responders and local officials can't get out right now to do damage assessments and figure out what has happened because it's just not safe for them. They will be out as soon as it is safe to do so, and we'll be pushing that information out to the public.
All right. Catherine Howden from the Georgia Emergency Management and Homeland Security Agency. Catherine, thank you for taking the time. We really appreciate it. Stay safe.
Thank you. You too.
Support for WABE comes from Zoo Atlanta, presenting Sippin' Safari on Saturday, September 23rd, featuring an evening of wine sampling, live music, and more for ages 21 and up. Tickets and information available at zooatlanta.org.
It's easy to look at the headlines to get a sense of the news.
9 senators rejected that Senate version of the bill.
Venezuela was paralyzed by strikes and protests.
This missile can actually travel much farther than...
All Things Considered digs into the center of the story to help you really understand not just what's happening, but why. Stand with the facts. Listen every day. From 4 to 6:30, it's All Things Considered here on 90.1 WABE.
And special coverage of Tropical Storm Irma continues now here on 90.1 WABE. I'm Rose Scott. Here in Atlanta, like the rest of the state, everyone is encouraged to stay off the road. Rhea Aiken is Director of Emergency Preparedness for the City of Atlanta, and she joins me now on the line. Rhea, thanks for taking the time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Rose.
Well, we know that the worst of Tropical Storm in terms of the Atlanta area is currently making its way into the region. What is your message to Atlanta residents about dealing with this tropical storm?
Well, more than anything, making sure that our residents stay informed, obviously with partners such as yourselves, and then the updated information coming from the National Weather Service, we want to make sure that everybody is aware of what the storm looks like so they can take the necessary precautions to protect themselves. I had the opportunity to listen to our partners at GEMA and just obviously want to reinforce that for those that have to get on the roadways, please take extra precautionary measures. But if at all possible, we want to make sure that people stay safe. And if you don't have to travel, to make sure that you stay home and stay in a safe environment.
And Rhea, you mentioned staying informed and staying safe. If folks feel like they want to go to a shelter, I understand the City of Atlanta has opened some additional shelters for people. Is that correct?
We have. And so we actually have one facility that is operating with our partners. That is the American Red Cross. That is our central facility. And then we also have opened up our old Adamsville facility is actually will be opening up at 2 p.m. today. But then in addition to that, we have been working with our partnering agencies to ensure that those vulnerable populations that may be on the streets on a daily basis have an opportunity to be able to seek shelter should they wish to. And so we actually have teams that are deployed around the city to make sure that if we see some folks that may be exposed by the elements, that we stop and we reach out and ask if they would like to go to a place of self-refuge and then help them get there.
Rhea, as you know, in Florida, there were some areas where authorities said if you have not evacuated, if you call 911, we won't be able to help you. That is not the case here in the Atlanta area. Could you just clear that up for some people who might think if there is an emergency and those wind gusts could reach 55 miles per hour, will first responders be able to get out and get to them?
Absolutely. So, as with anything, we want to make sure that our first responders have the safe environment to be able to get to folks. But with that in mind, all of our first responders, we have first responders not only located at our fire stations and other entities, but they're staged all over the city. And so that way, no matter where that call comes from, they can be able to respond with the closest proximity as possible. The other thing I want to make sure that everybody is aware of is that, our 911 operators are operating on a 24-hour capacity. We also have our 311 center that is operating 24 hours for non-emergencies as well. And whether that is to understand where it is that they can go to seek safe shelter, mm-hmm. That's through 311, or if they need an emergency support through 911, we'll be able to get to them.
And Rhea, with those extremely high wind gusts, there could be down power lines, of course, down tree limbs, or just down trees, period. If that happens in someone's neighborhood, should they call the City of Atlanta first?
More than anything, I would encourage that they contact Georgia Power. Incidentally, I am actually calling you and speaking to you from our Joint Operations Center, of which we have all of our partnering agencies, including Georgia Power here with us, as well as MARTA and other entities here, so that as those communications and those notifications are made through Georgia Power, we can actually receive them real time. And if we're receiving them directly at the city through 311 or 911, then we can actually facilitate those requests to Georgia Power because they're sitting here with us.
And Rhea, now the question that everybody wants to know, of course, when the storm will move out of the Atlanta area, but also more importantly, when do you think the city will open its doors and be back to regular business?
Well, at this time, we expect that the notification relative to city closure will be made in the coming, already has been made, excuse me. We just announced, actually, that the city will be closed tomorrow. But realistically, what we want to do is make sure that we have the adequate resources to be able to respond to this event, and we will continue to assess whether or not we will remain closed on Wednesday or decide to open at that time. And we do so in concert with conversations with all of our partnering agencies, including the state.
Rhea, as we wrap up, is there anything else that you want not only the residents of the Atlanta area who are listeners of WABE to know, but for anybody out there who's listening in terms of being prepared as Tropical Storm Irma makes its way into the region?
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, first of all, I just want to thank not only the residents, but the visitors that have been coming through the city. They have been reaching out using all the available resources to better understand what it is that they can do as they're coming through the city. I really want to encourage anyone to obviously stay informed. If they'd like to receive real live notifications, they can certainly sign up for Notify APL at atlantaga.gov/notifyATL. But if you haven't had a chance to ensure that some of the things around your home and your property are secure, now is the time to do so. I think as we see the continued forecast, there seems to be a trend towards growing wind gusts, so we need to be able to manage to that. And then lastly, if you haven't done so, really want to encourage that you connect with your loved ones and you know how you'll be able to contact them if the event that your power goes out. And then even if you have residents and friends out of state, that you make sure that you can connect with them in the event that you need to ensure that, or they want to make sure of your safety.
And definitely check on the elderly and those who might be disabled and dealing with some developmental challenges. Rhea Aiken, Director of Emergency Preparedness for the City of Atlanta, thank you for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Support for WABE comes from Capital One. You can open a Capital One savings account and discover more about Capital One savings online at CapitalOne.com/ReimagineAtlanta. Capital One, welcome to Banking Reimagined.
And closer looks, continuing coverage of Tropical Storm Irma continues now here on 90.1 WABE. I'm Rose Scott. Now, there are reports of power outages throughout the state, as well as some down power lines, down trees, and tree limbs. So if you are out, please be mindful of the potential danger on the roadways. As for the tropical storm itself and what exactly can the Atlanta area expect, I just spoke with meteorologist Patricia Atwell with the National Weather Service in Peachtree City. Patricia, as we know, Irma has made its way into Georgia. What can the Atlanta area expect this afternoon?
Okay, winds are going to be increasing throughout the afternoon. We're forecasting wind speeds will increase from where they are now, which is generally anywhere from 15 gusting to 25 miles an hour to 20 gusting to 30 or more miles an hour across the Atlanta metro area. These winds are going to increase to be 30 to 35 miles an hour, gusting as high as 45 to 50, with some gusts as high as 55 miles an hour. Most of these higher gusts, the 50 to 55 mile an hour gusts, will generally be later this afternoon, probably in the after the 4 o'clock hour. This will continue through the evening hours. By about midnight or so, 2 a.m., we'll start to see those winds diminish somewhat. We'll see them come down again to that 30 miles an hour gusting to 40. And then by early morning, we're anticipating that your winds should be closer to 20, 25 miles an hour with some gusts near 30. And by late morning tomorrow, we should be in the 10 to 15 mile an hour range as far as your wind speeds. You're going to continue to see rain bands move across the Atlanta metro area. Mm-hmm. Some heavier rain will be embedded as well. So you'll see periods of heavy rain and then probably heavier rain and then come back to a heavy rainfall through this afternoon. Your temperature's not going to change too terribly much across the area. Currently, your temperatures are ranging right around 60 degrees. Mm-hmm. By this afternoon, it's going to go up to about 65 degrees across most locations. And then overnight tonight, they're going to come down right back to about 60 degrees. So we're not going to see too much of a change in your temperatures through tomorrow.
And along with those high gusts, you mentioned the rain bands. As of right now, is there any potential flood advisory you all can project for any part of Georgia?
We do have a flood watch out for all of north and central Georgia until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Right now, we have not issued any flood warnings, but we are monitoring your river levels. We are monitoring where the heavier rain is falling, and we will put out any river flood warnings and flash flood warnings that are necessary as the day goes on.
Patricia, for some areas along Irma's path, conditions were favorable for tornadic activity. Could that be the case for any part of Georgia?
Looks like the east central portions of Georgia may see some tornadic activity and the southeast portions of Georgia. We're not seeing it move up into the Atlanta area right now, but we are watching. There's a large area of rotation with this hurricane, and so we're watching to see if there's any spin-ups with any of these rain bands.
And finally, probably the question that everyone here in Georgia wants to know, when will Irma move out of Georgia, and where is it headed next?
It's going to move out sometime overnight. Tonight it'll move into eastern Alabama, and by tomorrow it should be up over northwest Alabama and moving into Tennessee. It'll get absorbed into the general flow pattern and then move off to the northeast by Wednesday, Thursday. And so by tomorrow, we should start to see some clearing here as far as some improving conditions. Probably be still some cloudy skies into tomorrow night and then partly sunny by Wednesday.
And Patricia, you all have been so busy. How many shift changes are you all going through?
Well, a lot of us are working more than one shift, a shift and a half. So we're working 8 to 12 hours at a time and coming in to pick up whatever needs to be done as far as answering the phone or briefings or whatever's needed. So it just depends on each individual person. But, yeah, we've been working some long hours.
All right. Patricia Adwell, meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Peachtree City. Patricia, thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate the update.
All right, thank you.
And we're back live in our Closer Look studios. WABE will have more throughout the day if there are any changes to that forecast. And as you know, a state of emergency has been declared in all 159 counties in Georgia. We're going to shift our attention to Fulton. And joining me now is Fulton County Interim Commissioner Chairman Bob Ellis. Commissioner Ellis, thanks for taking the time.
Hello, Rose.
Fulton is one of the largest counties in the state. I know you've been monitoring what's been happening with Tropical Storm Irma. You've been out. You've been visiting some of the facilities here in the state. What have you been able to focus on this morning?
Well, this morning, really, we wanted to make sure that, kind of all of the essential type service operations that we have going are properly functioning and that we're prepared for, any kind of changes that the weather may bring to us. We're looking at our water and sewer facilities and making sure that we've got, kind of adequate support there, looking at, kind of what's playing out with weather models, looking at our own facilities. We've got I'm in at our operations center right now, and we've got about 190 cameras that are out, you know, kind of in our own facilities, and just monitoring those, make sure that we're not seeing any kind of surprises there with, you know, kind of damage or other type of events. We're in communication with all the local municipalities, and we're providing a lot of integrated service with the city of South Fulton. We've got all our team here, 911, et cetera, fire, police, who are just monitoring intake. We also have opened up a shelter, Jefferson Place Shelter, in the city of Atlanta, and that presently is full. So there was definitely a need for that. So folks have responded to that being opening and have gotten and taken shelter. So right now, you know, there's been a heavy focus really on preparation, you mm-hmm. know, leading into it. And now it's really kind of monitoring and executing on all of our emergency preparation is planning, and folks have gone into action.
So. Speaking of going into action, because of the high wind gust and the potential for a lot of downed power lines, you all have been testing generators.
Right, and that's, you know, and that's important for, you know, all our facilities, but particularly sort of in critical spots, like I mentioned, in the water sewer operations, making sure that that those are responding and ready to roll if needed, as well as at, you know, facilities like the operation of our jail where we've got a large populace there. So, you know, all the testing and everything is, you know, has been done, and it looks like we're prepared for hopefully what will not be a significant event. But if it is, we feel like we've done an excellent job of preparing for it as best as we can.
You mentioned the Emergency Operations Center, which is really a great opportunity for sort of interagency collaboration with other, not only just other county within county agencies, but other agencies as well. Take us through what that process is like. And you mentioned you have over 100 cameras that you all are monitoring as well.
Right. We've got about 190 cameras on, you know, buildings in Fulton County. And that's, you know, monitoring and looking at, you know, what's going on there, making sure that's not some sort of odd event that we need to respond to. And, you know, really the collaboration, I think, you know, you see, you know, across the state, you know, I think the state's done an excellent job, you know, with the providing all the weather detail to all the jurisdictions so that they can go then and apply it and look at it, their own models and, you know, what's going on within their particular jurisdiction that they may need to be, have a team ready to respond to. So it's, you just see, you know, kind of see government at work and, you know, all of the entities that, you know, kind of play a role and a function, you know, in a disaster or a potential disaster situation, being ready to respond.
Now, you all, just about a year ago, you upgraded the Fulton County's 911 system, I believe, to the tune of about $20 million. How important is that now?
Well, that's certainly important to have that function, you know, ready and being able to function at the highest capacity if needed. So it so that's definitely a relief to know that you're not worrying about the adequacy of that system, you know, in the face of an event that may require a large response.
As we wrap up, I want to talk about debris and street closures, and folks may have some questions about, look, there are downed trees in my neighborhood. Will you all be able to get to that today? Or how will you all coordinate getting crews out for debris cleanup and street reopenings?
I think we'll be able to hopefully coordinate as quickly as possible, you know, once calls come in at 911, and there, and particularly in our footprint that we're focused in on for that particular response will be in the city of South Fulton. Two other things that may be worth of interest sharing with your listeners, that we did decide to also close for tomorrow the government offices here at Fulton County. So we've made the call on that. I know another number of other jurisdictions have as well. And then another thing of note that I thought was that I had a chance to tour this morning was the state of Georgia in conjunction with the Humane Society had coordinated establishing an emergency transitional facility for animals that have mm-hmm. been displaced due to the storm. And that's operating up in Roswell, can take in up to 1,000 animals. And so our animal control is also coordinated with them as needed to provide animal intake to that facility. So you know, I think the citizens of Georgia and Fulton County have all really responded well in terms of preparedness, but also at the same time trying to respond and help out folks that have already experienced a certain element of the wrath of this storm.
All right. Fulton County Interim Commission Chairman Bob Ellis, thank you so much for taking the time and updating us. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Rose.
Support for WABE comes from Northside Hospital, offering clinical excellence across a full range of medical specialties, leading-edge technologies and treatments, and the personalized, compassionate care that you expect from Northside. Information at northside.com.
And Closer Look continues now here on 90.1 WABE, Atlanta's choice for NPR. I'm Rose Skies. We continue our special coverage of Tropical Storm Irma, who's making its way into the Atlanta area. Well, you've heard throughout the show how the city and state officials are preparing for Irma. But now let's turn to the busiest airport in the world, Hartsfield-Jackson International. I'm joined now, as always, by Andrew Gobiel. He is the spokesperson for Hartsfield-Jackson. Andrew, we meet again.
Yes, we do. And busiest and most efficient, Rose. We can't forget that, right?
Well, you're adding that, but I don't know if anyone will argue with you. Let's talk about what is currently happening at the airport. Earlier, you all had canceled a lot of flights. What is the latest you could offer?
Well, right now, it looks as if we've got about 800, a little over 800 flights have been canceled today. That is a pretty substantial number, considering, as I said before, you know, we have between 2,600 and 2,800 flights per day flying out of Hartsfield-Jackson. And it is, for lack of a better term, very, very quiet downstairs. It's interesting walking down and taking a look at the security check-in queue, which is usually packed and, again, efficient and moving very quickly. But as I took a look over there a moment ago, I noticed there was a TSA employee taking a picture because it was something that we had never really seen before, the empty security queuing lines. We're continuing to monitor the storm. We still are open. You know, I take a look outside right now, and let me see here, and I can actually see aircraft approaching and landing. But there will be very likely a suspension of flight operations for a short period as we deal with the increased wind and the increased rain.
And, Andrew, you know, people, of course, we're familiar with bad weather and planes take off all the time in rain and sometimes even in sleet, but it's the wind gusts that I imagine are the main reason as for why you all had to cancel so many flights.
It's not just the wind gusts, it's the wind direction. The architects of Hartsfield-Jackson years ago were brilliant in setting up five parallel runways, well, at the time, four parallel runways, that run east to west. The prevailing winds allowed for constant operations. When we're dealing with winds out of the north or out of the south, which is what we're dealing with here today, it is the crosswinds, which would have an impact on the aircraft operations. So, and I've been asked this question quite frequently through the day. What is the maximum wind speed? What is the minimum wind speed for operations to continue? And you know what? It varies. It varies not just in wind speed, but wind direction, precipitation amounts, and type of aircraft. So it's not like I could come up and say, at X miles an hour, we're going to close things down. It is a combination of events.
And dealing with those combination of events, then who do you all, are you all keeping, I imagine you all are keeping in touch with the National Weather Service in terms of when you all can make a decision about letting some flights take off?
We do, and it's up to the tower, the FAA, obviously, and the airlines themselves, and they monitor the National Weather Service. They monitor their own airline meteorologists. They communicate with us to make sure that the runways and the taxiways are clear and safe, which is something that is obviously one of our top priorities. But the ultimate decision maker as to whether or not an aircraft can take off is the pilot. It's his call or her call to determine whether or not everything is safe. But they work in conjunction, obviously, with their airlines and with the FAA.
And for those hundreds, and I do mean hundreds of flights that have already been canceled, for folks who might be stranded at the airport, what can you all offer them in terms of some resources, some relief?
Well, first, let me point out that if there are any benefits to a hurricane, it's this. We know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So we're able to make plans in advance. The airlines are able to make plans in advance. We as an airport make plans in advance. We have been notifying for the past week or so about our passengers and the options that they have, telling them to turn to the airlines. The airlines have done the same. So that is why I'm going to explain to you, and this is how we're able to explain, that the airport itself, there aren't many passengers stranded downstairs
mm-hmm.
because they were able to follow instructions from their airlines. There are a number of passengers who are there, and our guest services personnel, along with the concessionaires that we have here, make sure that those passengers are well taken care of. It is our job to not only provide a safe and efficient travel experience, but an enjoyable one. And we're going to make sure that they're as comfortable as possible if they're forced to stay here at the airport.
Andrew Gobiel, as many times as we've just spoken over the last couple of weeks, this has got to be the busiest time for you in terms of being a spokesperson for the airport.
It is. It is. We've got to stop meeting like this. Although Jose is moving around out in the Atlantic, so if Jose makes landfall, I'm going to take a vacation.
All right. Andrew Gobiel is a spokesperson for Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. Andrew, as always, we appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much.
Anytime, Rose.
I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. Stay with us for the latest on Hurricane Irma.
NPR reporters will be across Florida hearing from first responders and those affected by the storm.
Floridians are strong. We're resilient. In times like this, we band together and help each other.
Next time, here and now.
Monday afternoon at 3 on 90.1 WABE.
And closer look special coverage of Tropical Storm Irma continues now here on 90.1 WABE. I'm Rose Scott. Well, we know what this means. With the high wind gust, that means power outages. And for more on that, I'm joined by Georgia Power spokesperson Ashley West. Ashley, it's not like you haven't talked to so many reporters today. Thank you for taking the time.
Oh, yes, no problem. Thank you for having us. Of course, we want to make sure and keep the customers informed of what's taking place and share some safety tips with them.
Well, let's begin here, because when we talk about extremely high wind gusts, could reach up to 55 miles per hour. When that happens, how likely is it that there could be some power outages?
Yes. So as of 1 p.m. today, there are more than 410 customers that are actually without power in Georgia, which is including 3,600 individual cases of damage, which typically includes broken poles as well as lines. Majority of the outages are taking place in the coastal Georgia area.
Mm-hmm. Of course, that is around counties like Chatham and other areas. Ashley, in terms of preparation, you all, everyone knew that the storm was going to come this way. What precautions have you all had to deal with?
Mainly, our main focus, honestly, is just to keep our employees safe at the moment and to make sure and keep our customers updated on everything and let them know about the free tools that the company has that we can share with them. For example, the outage alerts, which is on our website. To go to georgiapower.com/storm and different outage maps. In-house right now, we are just coordinating to see exactly where a lot of the damage is taking place at. There's a lot of meetings taking place so we can get different assessment crews out as soon as the weather allows for them to go out, because, like I said, safety is our number one priority when it comes to our crews and employees.
And Ashley, you mentioned tips for Georgia Power customers. Let's go over some of those. What kind of tips and precautions are you all asking Georgians to take, and just in case the power goes out?
Yes, a few of the storm safety tips that we are sharing, and one of my personal favorites is watch out for downed wires. Of course, once the storm calms down a little bit, and although we're kind of in the midst of it right now, customers do like to go out just out of curiosity and see what damage was done. Downed power lines may be hidden by debris or fallen trees, so that's definitely a huge hazard. We want to make sure no one never touches any down wires or attempt to remove any tree branches from power lines. Make sure to not step in standing water or saturated ground where down lines may be present, as well as avoid any chain link fences. They may be electrified by a down line out of sight and conduct electricity over great distances.
And let's talk about, in terms of damage assessment, there could be a lot of down trees, down power lines. Are you also asking people to just to exercise little patience with Georgia Power or any utility company as it relates to people getting their power restored?
Yes, yes, and I honestly believe that a lot of our customers do understand that. We work very hard to give them the best reliable service from Georgia Power. So we are working nonstop 24/7 right now to make sure and have our plan in place and exercise that. Also, a lot of our crews, they are stationed in the Metro Atlanta area, Macon area, as well as the South region, are ready to go just as soon as they hear the word.
Ashley, in a situation like this, you all have helped neighboring states. Now it's Georgia Power's turn. Are you getting more help from other agencies, from other states to help?
Right now, we are, I do not believe we have asked for any additional resources. We are holding all of our resources actually in Georgia right now for our customers. And when I say resources, that's our line crews. But if we do find that we do need some additional help after doing the assessment of the damage around the state, then we'll definitely ask for assistance from other states.
All right. And we want to just echo what you've been talking about in terms of staying away from down power lines. Georgia Power spokesperson Ashley West, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And as nearly the entire state of Georgia is preparing, or not right now, dealing with Tropical Storm Irma, there have been concerns about detainees at Georgia's detention centers. Well, earlier I spoke with Brian Cox. He's the Southern Region Communications Director for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, better known as ICE.
Rose, ICE officials have obviously been monitoring the storm closely for more than a week now. ICE has evacuated all of its detainees out of Florida. We have multiple detention facilities in the South Florida area. And so last week, the decision was made to evacuate them. And so all detainees have been evacuated out of Florida temporarily to various facilities around the country. So we'll obviously have to keep an eye on the storm with power outages and things like that. I'm not exactly sure when those detainees will be returned back to the state of Florida, but all of ICE detainees in Florida were evacuated ahead of this storm. So thankfully, we don't have any individuals there. We do have ICE personnel in the path of the storm. One of the important things in a situation like this is that our personnel are involved in rescue and recovery. Off topic, but very important. Seen a lot of rumors on social media about concerns of potential immigration enforcement, shelters and things like that, and that is categorically not true. So let me just be very explicitly clear about this. The Department of Homeland Security and ICE specifically have stated unequivocally that there is a temporary suspension of immigration enforcement activity in areas impacted by the storm. So any individual thinking about needing to seek shelter in the path of the hurricane, their immigration status should not be any impediment to that. Anyone who's in the path of the storm who thinks that they may need to seek shelter should do so without any concern. Immigration status is not and will not be checked at any hurricane evacuation shelters, and ICE will not be doing immigration enforcement in areas impacted by the storm.
Thank you for clearing that up. I want to talk about one of the largest detention centers, which of course is located right here in Georgia, which is Stewart. What about that facility?
So that facility, we've obviously been monitoring the storm, and Stewart is located further inland and further north than Florida. And so at this point, it doesn't look like that facility is going to receive anything more than tropical storm force winds, if that. That particular facility is rated to withstand up to hurricane force winds. So we've been taking a look at it. But for now, Stewart is implementing its shelter plan. Detainees remain at that facility. There's a shelter in place protocol. And so obviously we're keeping a close eye on it. But those detainees that are there, we have staff on site continuing to monitor. But yes, the Stewart facility in Georgia remains in operation. But it is implementing its appropriate storm response plan.
And there's also a detention center right here in Atlanta. What can you tell me about that facility?
So that's the Atlanta City Detention Center. It does hold ICE detainees as well as individuals for the city of Atlanta. My understanding is they're implementing their plan as well. But as the winds that are anticipated in North Georgia are going to be lower, our officials monitoring it have not seen the need to evacuate any of those individuals. But obviously, for more than a week, we've been paying very close attention to the storm. Made the decision to evacuate all ICE detainees out of Florida to various facilities around the country. But thus far, all the individuals in Georgia, given that the winds are going to be less here, we've been able to implement our shelter-in-place plans.
Brian, as we wrap up, can you recall a time when ICE officials have had to relocate detainees because of weather-related events?
I'm sure it has happened before offhand. I can't think of a specific instance. But obviously, the safety of individuals is our first and foremost priority. And so when natural disasters, things like this pop up, this is a routine part of our planning. And so I can't think of a specific instance offhand, but that's not to say that is not something that has occurred or would occur again. Want to be very clear as well, just in case people see our personnel out, that ICE personnel absolutely will be out in these storm impacted areas, providing rescue, recovery, operations, supporting law enforcement in that process. But want to be very clear that, as I said, ICE personnel are not conducting immigration enforcement in areas impacted by the storm. So people absolutely may see ICE personnel, but want to be very clear that if they do, to help cut down on rumors and concerns, ICE personnel in these areas are helping with storm recovery, rescue response, things of that nature. If anyone sees ICE personnel, they are not involved in immigration enforcement in these areas impacted by the storm.
Brian Cox, Southern Region Communications Director, spokesperson for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, also known as ICE. Brian, thank you for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Happy to do it. Thank you.
And throughout the hour, we've heard from city and state officials about preparations for Irma. But did you know the Technical College System of Georgia provides assistance to GEMA for emergency preparations? I didn't know that. Joining me now on the line to talk more about this is Gretchen Corbin. She's the commissioner of the Technical College System of Georgia. Commissioner Corbin, welcome.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Doing pretty good. You staying safe?
We're staying safe. Thank you so much.
As I mentioned coming into this segment, you all work with GEMA during events like Tropical Storm Irma. Your colleges actually serve as a distribution center.
Absolutely, we do. We are proud, the Technical College System of Georgia as a state agency, and our colleges. We're proud to be part of the network of GEMA's resources. We do that in three ways, as you mentioned. We serve as a distribution center sometimes when we are called on. We also serve as emergency response points of distribution, and we serve as Red Cross shelters when asked as well.
And is that all considered also part of a staging area, or is that separate?
No, that is separate. We do logistical staging areas anytime GEMA needs us to.
You all also provide equipment. I understand you have quite a large fleet of trucks.
We do, Rose. We have the largest state-owned tractor-trailer fleet in the state. And so transportation is one area where we have the ability to assist in providing our tractor-trailers, maybe to provide supplies to shelters ahead of the storm, and also to providing drivers through our instructors.
Someone listening may say, wow, I did not know this. I know I didn't know this coming into this segment. Is it this also due because some of the technical colleges are in rural parts of the state that they are very significant in terms of being a resource in a situation like Tropical Storm Irma?
Absolutely. You know, the technical college system of Georgia, our colleges, we have 85 campuses. So we are throughout the entire state of Georgia and have the ability to access all of Georgia's communities. We like to pride ourselves on our quality and affordable education, but we even like more that we're flexible and we're personable. And I think these are the days when you can see how personable we are with our communities and what great partners we have the ability to be when we are working with so many partners that have to work so well together in emergencies like these.
You know, we talked about the large fleet of trucks and the drivers. Has some of your staff already been deployed?
They have. We've already sent 6 trucks at this time on 2 different missions to transport supplies to shelters ahead of the storm.
Now, with some of the technical colleges, you all have public safety and emergency management programs at the colleges, so many of your former students could be out there this afternoon and tomorrow helping folks.
Absolutely, Rose. We probably have many of our graduates that you will find as first responders, whether they've come through our criminal justice programs, our allied health, or even our electrical power technicians. You know, we provide a training program where the linemen of Georgia Power and other utility companies actually train their employees. And so we hope that you will see many of our graduates working in the field over the next week.
All right. Gretchen Corbin is the commissioner of the Technical College System of Georgia. We've been talking about the system's role in helping with emergency preparations for Tropical Storm Irma. Commissioner, thank you so much for taking the time and letting folks know what you all are doing.
Thank you very much.
On the next Fresh Air, on the anniversary of 9/11, first responder John Feel, whose foot was crushed by an 8,000-pound piece of steel at Ground Zero. He became an activist and lobbied Congress for health care funding for first responders. He says many have died from illnesses or injuries they sustained.
About 2,000 people have died because of their illnesses. They, too, are heroes.
Join us
this afternoon at 2 on 90.1 WABE.
As you know, before making way to Georgia, then Hurricane Irma roared into the Florida Keys, shifted its path, and that includes the city of Jacksonville. And just like we're doing, NPR affiliate WJCT in Jacksonville has been covering this, and in fact, they were in the path of Irma. I talked earlier to Melissa Ross. She's host and producer of the station's call-in program, First Coast Connect. Melissa joined me earlier on the line. Melissa, thanks for taking the time.
Sure, Rose. Good to be with you.
I understand you've been on the air since 5 a.m. this morning. Take me through what this weekend was like as Irma hit the city of Jacksonville.
Sure. Well, actually, myself and my colleagues got here at about 7 o'clock yesterday morning, and were on the air throughout the day and into and overnight, all through the night, with the assistance of the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network, bringing our listeners live updates on the impact of Irma. And last night, conditions really started to deteriorate here downtown where we're based. We're actually on the north bank of the St. John's River. And then this morning, as the wind slowly started to die down, what we started to witness was historic flooding here in Jacksonville, flooding that we haven't seen in this city since the mid-1800s, according to the National Weather Service. It is just extraordinary. And the alarming news is that we're not going to see high tide until about 2 o'clock. And at that point, we could see more water rise. That is really affecting neighborhoods along the St. John's River, which cuts through downtown Jacksonville, a very wide river, and then it narrows right at the downtown point. And so for those up there in Georgia that might be familiar with Jacksonville, neighborhoods like San Marco and Riverside are seeing unprecedented levels of flooding and are being urged to get to the second story of their home or a neighbor's home because we just don't know yet where the water is going to stop.
And Melissa, here in the Atlanta area, state and local officials have encouraged everyone to stay off the roads. Down there with all that flooding, at best, what can people do if they can't get to a higher elevation?
You know, they're being asked to call the city for a rescue, and they're being told to put a white flag out so that rescue workers can get them. We saw this, you know, going back to Hurricane Katrina, these images of people being plucked off roofs by responders. We haven't seen that yet here, but as I mentioned, and I don't want to be alarmist, but we have not yet seen the crest of the waters. So right now, the state is also deploying resources to Jacksonville, working with our local emergency responders just to make sure people are not in any danger from rising waters. No deaths reported, some injuries, no fatalities, but just an incredible amount of water rushing through the city from the after effects of Irma, this incredible storm surge that other Florida cities have witnessed. We are seeing it here, in particular, the effect of it with these record-breaking water levels along the St. Johns River.
Melissa, how have you all managed to stay on the air, and how are you all doing?
You know, we're doing fine. We are on the north bank of the St. Johns River, and all around us, the water is actually rising. The St. Johns River is a stone's throw from our building. We can see it right when we look out the window of our newsroom. We've watched the water come up steadily all through the morning. It has not quite crested yet. It will crest in an hour or two. As yet, it has not affected our operations. We've sandbagged our building just like everybody else. And with a little luck, knock on something here, we're just going to keep going.
Well, we hope that you all stay safe, and we appreciate what you all have been doing, not only for your residents, but for friends and loved ones here in the Georgia area who have friends and loved ones in Jacksonville. Melissa Ross, host and producer of the station's call-in program, First Coast Connect, from WJCT in Jacksonville. Melissa, thank you for taking the time. If you can, get some rest.
Yeah, that's coming. Thank you, Rose.
All right, take care. And due to Tropical Storm Irma, Senior Connections, the nonprofit that delivers Meals on Wheels to Metro Atlanta seniors, has decided to cancel services for today. Sally Eggleston is Senior Connections Manager of Donor Relations.
Many of them called in this morning just to make sure whether they were needed or not. But since we have volunteers who deliver the meals, we did not want to have our volunteers on the road this morning.
Now, despite the weather, she says they will provide standard inclement weather meals for their clients before the hurricane season even begins.
Well, we have a pretty standard, what we call inclement weather policy. And so we provide to our seniors at least twice a year and sometimes three times a year what we call shelf-stable meals. And those are meals that the senior can put in their pantry. There's nothing that will go bad, and they leave them there. And then on when we can't get through, whether that's a hurricane, whether that's an ice storm, we know that they have a meal. And so they have already received their shelf-stable meal for the hurricane season.
Now, Senior Connections delivers about 3,000 meals per day. They hope to be back to business tomorrow.
We are planning tomorrow we will give them an additional extra meal just to make up for having dipped into their inclement meals.
And that's it for today's special weather edition of Closer Look. If you haven't heard, stay off the roads if possible, folks. Closer Look was produced by Candace Wheeler, Ebony Lemon, and Finley Foxen. Our engineer is Elizabeth Eads. Our executive producer is Christine Dempsey. A special thanks to the entire WAB News team and, as always, our digital services crew. If you missed any of today's show, you can find the entire program online at wabe.org/closerlook. You can now listen to Closer Look weeknights at 9 p.m. We're back tomorrow at 1 for another edition of Closer Look. Stay tuned to 90.1 WABE, Atlanta's choice for NPR. I'm Rose Scott.
Since Hurricane Harvey, the National Flood Insurance Program has received more than 80,000 claims. Each claim needs an adjuster to inspect property. But the need to inspect quickly can bump up against inspecting accurately.
You want to make sure you see everything, because I don't want to write something and then they have to come back with a supplement.
Plus, the impact of Hurricane Irma on the next All Things Considered from NPR News. Weekday afternoons from 4 to 6:30 on 90.1 WABE.